Tom, good morning and welcome back to our studio.
Yes, good morning. It has been a while, but...
Yeah, practically. I was just recollecting and I think it's a year.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, the summer officially would be here.
Yes, and the models on the meteo are showing also a drastic change.
Mm-hmm.
That means the wind will come from south. That means this is a wind that will come from the Indian Ocean, that means the west.
Yeah.
And then go around the Indian Peninsula, between India and Sri Lanka, and come back to us.
So what are you suggesting, that we will have the nice summer monsoon?
Well, I have no idea about it for the time being. I mean, with whatever I have and whatever knowledge I have, I cannot forecast, you know. And I'm not so interested in doing so. But what I see is that by next new moon, we will have a change and we will start to have the land winds, that means winds coming from the west, and also south winds coming from the sea, from coming along the coast. So it
next
might...
That is on Sunday.
Yeah, it means next week.
Yeah.
And so it might... we will have probably a rise in the temperature, humidity levels, but normal. I would say normal for the season.
Mm.
Now, speaking of summer monsoon, for me it's still early because I have no idea of what... because the whole thing is played at the planetary level, no? We have seen... We have seen at the all the winter has been like in the west in Europe. They have had crazy weather, you know, and which goes along with what we have somewhat here.
Yeah, it started. The heat started actually already in March, with the temperatures which are used to be in the end of April, 36 and up. Yeah.
You mean here?
Yeah.
Well, I don't feel the. The real heat has come.
Mm.
I feel the weather absolutely pleasant. And I see on the trees, you know, that the trees are somewhat green.
Mm.
Some trees are losing their leaves, but it's seasonal, it's normal.
The grass is already dry.
The grass is yellow, that's normal.
Yeah, but last year with 4 months above 40, hitting also 47 days in a row, and somehow... some of us, we have a feeling that we're going to hit 50 this year. And recollecting last year with the water, it was not really well. You had some crisis plan, how to maintain, how to support the communities with
that's
water.
Correct.
How about this year? The monsoon,
so this
the winter monsoon was abundant, but not enough.
No, it was not abundant.
It was not enough.
Let us say just normal.
Yes.
It was, you see, 2015... We finished with a plus record, 2.10 meters.
Yeah,
then 2016, we finished with a minus record at 687.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, we got average, 1,290 or so.
But there's not even 2 meters of precipitation, right?
Yeah. And also the way the rainfall accumulated was with very small rains.
Mm-hmm.
We did not have any major events of rain. You know, like, for example, in 2015, on the, I think, 2nd and 3rd of December, in 2 days, we got 40 centimeters of rain. I mean, it's a huge amount.
Yeah, that's true.
That's exceptional. But what we would like to have is the rainfall in the range of 10 to 15 centimeters a day.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what really gives a massive amount that recharges the ground.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that our aquifers are not fully...
Well, we had a bit of recovery, mainly on... the main recovery was on the top aquifer.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, this is the one that is immediately impacted by the rainfall, when it is sufficient. And the second one, let's say, is... we are still analyzing the information. But the second one has recovered also, mm-hmm. has shown a bit of recovery. But immediately, all of them are showing. And the third one, no way, I mean.
It's empty.
No, it's not empty. There is water.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that there will always be water in the third aquifer. But the quality will change. Because if we pump the sweet water that is there, we create space
for
the salty water to come from the sea and also from the bottom. Mm. Because below the Vanur sandstone, you have the Ramanathapuram sandstone that is full of minerals.
So it's a salty by default.
Exactly.
Not from the sea, but it's salty by default.
Yeah, yeah. It's a mineral, highly mineralized water.
Mm.
And sometimes even sulfuric, it has organic chemistry inside,
Maybe it's good for...
Well, in Italy, I've seen a spring like that was a curative spring. It seems good for the liver.
Yeah,
but it stunk like anything. I don't know. It was so stinky.
Yeah, good. And, but yeah, apparently those mineral waters are good for health, at least.
Yeah, but at a very low doses.
Yeah, definitely.
Charlie has been developing Orgreen with that kind of water in the beginning.
With the mineral water?
Of course. Because he had a well at 300 meters dug by the groundwater board.
Mm.
And it was giving a huge amount of water. He had a 25 HP pumping nearly 800 cubic meters a day. It was massive.
But the plants were great for
plants. They managed.
The minerals are good for plants, no?
In a way, yes.
Hmm.
But you see, like, this problem that we keep on telling people is that this water, when it gets mineralized, you keep using it. But then you are saturating the capacity of your body to absorb minerals.
That's
right. That means after a certain point, your body gets imbalanced. And the same thing goes for the soil, the plants. If you keep watering with, like it happens in the west of Auroville, in the region of Otay, they have been pumping mineralized water for a long period, and at the surface of the soil, you see this white crust that are all the salts and minerals that are depositing.
Mm-hmm.
And this means that the soil gets blocked. Already the clay will behave differently, because clay is very sensitive to too much minerals and salt. And the fertility will go down because the bacteria are the fertility. And if you have a soil that is, so much altered by minerals, then the bacteria cannot thrive. That means they cannot hold the humidity, and plus they cannot do their job of preparing the nutrients for the plants.
We already have a really hard water because we see it in in our kitchens and bathrooms.
Yeah, yeah. But even in Dana, we have not the worst water.
The calcium is there, so it doesn't. But anyhow, we wanted to talk today about the coming summer. Does the water group have any? Let's say plants as you had last year.
If
water goes rapidly or too fast down, that we will have water cuts.
For the time being, we are not ringing the bell, because we are not having informations showing a rapid decline.
Mm-hmm.
What we can say is that, for example, I spoke with Bala, our monitoring man. Two, 3 days ago, and I asked him, okay, what is the trend? So he told me, so far we were at 10 centimeters a week going down.
Yeah.
Average. And now we are gradually going to 15 centimeters. So basically it means that we have an acceleration of the trend of the water going down.
Yeah,
so we are going to keep a very close eye on this trend, because this is what will show us, in the absence of rain, this is what shows us where we may go. It's always conditional, it's always a guess.
But you said 10 centimeters per week, and now we are on 15 centimeters per week, which is normal because it's too hot, we're taking more showers, people mm-hmm. started to water the plants mm-hmm. with larger amounts of waters and even more frequent a day. How much do we have out of there's a...
We can't really answer this type of question, sorry. No, because this is why we collect all this information. And for the time being, we are storing this information. I mean, in the water group, we have Julio and Pavnit taking care of the database, and they are doing a tremendous work in storing all these informations. But unfortunately, what we lack is the brains. Like, we would need one or two hydrogeologists, you know, people who are used to juggle with these informations and can understand
what that means, sir.
What it means in terms of storage capacity mm-hmm. in the soil, how much water can we say we have and all that. So we had a very good friend of Oroville, Israel Gev, who is the responsible for water resources in Israel, in the state mm-hmm. of Israel. And he's a very close friend of Oroville. He comes here since more than 20 years. And he looked at our database last time he came, and he said, very good, guys. With that, we can start already understanding where we go. Mm-hmm. Because, you see, like, if the more we build year after year the various trends, we have the rainfall, yeah. and then we have the evolution of the water levels. And what it shows, it will show what is... Is there a stable level? You see, where can we say, okay, here we are stable. That means we go up, but we go down, and we go up again, and we go down. So that means our fluctuation remains between two parameters, mm-hmm. and there is a kind of stability. I mean, if you flatten your curve, then you see that somehow we are there. So it would mean, like, for example, if we improve our recharge, then we might even bring up more our storage. Mm-hmm. So this is basically all the work we have to do on harvesting rainwater. So for the time being, the main storage we have is the ground. In the absence of surface storages such as the Matrimandir Lake or other structures. But the main work we have to do, what has been done by the pioneers of Oroville, you know, is put the water in the ground, put the water in the ground, and let's use it. Because anyway, it takes a lot of time for the water to travel away from Oroville, you know, once it is in the ground. Because it's not in even in 1 year that it goes away. So it's very important. Now, I'm going to speak more about the vision that the water group develops, because last year it was just the start of it. Now we have evolved what we call a water strategic plan. Mm-hmm. And the main work was done by water group, but the drafting was done by Aditi. She has done a really tremendous work. Now we are in the process of processing all these documents in order to communicate it to the community, so that we try to put it in terms of layman. Because usually when we work like that, we tend to use our own jargon, our own way of thinking. We understand each other. Mm-hmm. But doesn't mean that the document, you give it to anyone, and that the person will understand what we are talking. But they will understand what we are talking.
Language that we all understand.
Exactly. And also the mindset, you know, the structure. So I don't say people are stupid, not at all, because many people will just understand what we are talking mm-hmm. about. But at least we want to make sure that this is more communicable, no? Mm-hmm. And so this is, and Ingmarie is joining again. after her maternity leave, and so she will be working on that. She is our communication person. So this is what we are starting now. Now, back to this document, what is important is that one of the aspects that we... Where is the water coming from? You know, which is basically the question you asked first. So far we speak of groundwater, but of course we speak of rain, because the water of Auroville comes from the sky. And so, after that, so therefore the vision we develop is multi-sourcing. And this concept, we have to keep it very much alive. And people have to understand that. Because what they have today is a system that is based only on groundwater extraction. Mm-hmm. So that means basically groundwater extraction is the easy way to get water whenever you have it.
You have a borewell and you pump it up.
You pump it up and you have it clean. Mm-hmm. You don't need to process it. So this is really the golden age. But the problem is, as we said before, this golden age now is at risk and is maybe ending. So when we say multi-sourcing means we will have rainwater falling to the ground. And whatever we can intercept and use directly...
Without going to the ground?
Without going to the ground is already one aspect. For example, if we can manage to store water in cisterns, or in lakes, or in ponds, and whatever, and use it after, of course, treatment, because it has to be purified, because very often the water gets a bit muddy when it falls on the ground, except the water you get on your roof, but even your roofs are not clean. Mm. So you need to filter it, you need to prepare it. And you may use it, but maybe not for drinking. You will use it for... what we call household needs, or some watering needs, or some other things. So basically, this is a concept. Getting rainwater and try to make it our main resource. So storage on the surface or storage in the first aquifer. Mm-hmm. So once it is in the first aquifer already, it has been filtered naturally by the ground. And then you can already use it for drinking water. Then the other source will be groundwater. Of course, it will remain a source, but we will reduce it and reduce it and reduce it as much as we can. The third source is retreated water.
You mean
that means the wastewater that is cleaned and made fit to go for irrigation. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing we can do with it for the time being.
As far as now, you're also doing the survey at the moment, how many wastewater treatment plants.
This is being done, yes.
So that is one way?
Yeah, this is what Mira and Jeanne are doing, mm-hmm. and they are progressing. Now they are focused on the residential area, and soon they will shift to international zone and they will go around. Mm-hmm. And so it's important for us, this survey, because it will tell us where we can... For example, I know in my house, I am doing it already. Mm-hmm. That means I am treating the water and I use it for watering my lemon trees. Mm-hmm. And but not, for example, if we take the case of Dana that we know, we have only... our system, and then Eric has just made recently a new system. And so he will also reuse the water. He might even get wastewater from Baba and from Claude and Abba. Mm-hmm. So that means, you see, people take initiatives also at that level. But what we want to know is where is the potential mm-hmm. for treating water and reuse it. This is very important, because then we can introduce some figures in our water budget. Mm. Water budget means how much we get, how much we spend in terms of water. And so this is this survey being done. And then we, of course, we always put it last, because it's so, there is this famous desalinized water. Mm. So it's not exactly controversial, but it is, for the time being, at least at the water group level, we consider it a kind of a spare wheel. That means we don't want to put all our eggs in the same basket, because if you produce water using energy, using technology, the day you have a failure at the energy level and at the technology level, then you lose that source. And suppose that source becomes 60% of the supply to Auroville, that means suddenly in one day or for 2-3 weeks, you get short of 60% of water. I mean, there are too many unknowns with this project, which is, by the way, run by an external agency, enfin Varuna Limited. And therefore, for the time being, we have no idea if they are going to do it, how they are going to do it, when it will be ready, what would be the agreement with Auroville, because you need at least a memorandum of understanding on such an issue, because you can't play with civil life. That means supply of water is a major item in civil life. Just like that, because you see, it's very, these are factors that we try to keep in account.
When you were talking about the wastewater treatment, last year I remember there were, every week there were suggestions what to do, you know, to shower in the bucket and then use it in the garden. I think the time comes that we should start implementing that one as well, right?
Voilà.
Before we get to the shortage of the water, right?
Yeah, so there you are touching a very important point. Complete shift of mindset from the people. When I spoke of a golden age before, it was this period that our generations, that means I'm talking of the two, three last generations, have known. Because even if you go another four generation, then you realize that the people were using water in a very different way, particularly in India. We have people here of our generation who had one bucket a person a day to live, and they have been living with that.
It's possible.
But let us say the comfort that we have achieved in the last, let's say, 50 years is something new. It's something absolutely new even on this planet, because we have been taking advantage of all the energy, technology, and all whatever. But then we have abused of it. I mean, we exceeded because we forgot the aspect of natural resource.
We're breaking the, let's say, the cycle. And
yes.
When you break that,
for example,
there are consequences.
Right? Today we have this famous Cauvery drama between Karnataka and Tamil Nadu. And when the Supreme Court rules that actually they say to Tamil Nadu, sorry guys, but Bangalore will continue to get more water because we cannot abandon Bangalore as a nation, because Bangalore has become a symbol of progress, is a center of excellence in terms of IT, in terms of so many things, industries of... you see, in Bangalore, they make the satellites, they make all kind of things, you know.
For that reason, the Tamil Nadu will have their water supply?
No, they have their water supply. Just the share of, if I understand well, because it's a bit complex, that thing. But the share of Karnataka has been raised a bit in order to cater with the needs of Bangalore. Because Bangalore itself is at failure. It's one of the city at risk at the mondial level. You know, we know the story of Cape Town, who now is almost without water. But Bangalore was on the way to this kind of a problem. And the way that the center found to help Bangalore was to take more water from the Cauvery. And so now it's a big drama because the politicians, of course, are taking advantage of that to build their own names. But it's a big problem.
We cannot undo what we did wrong in the last 50 years or 100 years of the expansive progress.
Yeah, that's because...
But we can start with each of us to change the awareness, at least here in Orwell, in each community.
Correct.
It starts with each of us, no?
Exactly, because we have to change scale. Because most of the development of the modern days was based on national developments. We had governments. We equipped our governments with a lot of administrative powers and a lot of technological entities, such for example, Central Groundwater Board. You have Pollution Control Board. You have all these type of mega structures that are supposed to rule and manage these natural resources. But what we discovered is that actually they don't manage a dam. They do a lot, you know, but it does not change anything because we are again confronted with a famous bloody human factor. And how can you deal with the human factor? That means you have to change scale. And this is what nature is doing. That means if you document what is happening at the grassroots level, so this is where things are changing. That's basically what you just said, you know, at our level, we start, and this is where things have to develop. So we were trying to put up, for example, an educational proposal with SIER, but we, you see, it's a problem. We are dealing with water. People, everybody tell us, oh, it's good what you do, it's good what you do. But we are so little people to do that work. It's an incredible work. We need much more human resources.
To me, it's like somebody praise you that you're doing the good work, and at the same time, in
nobody helps us.
In that person's house at 3 o'clock, the gardener is watering the plant or the hose.
Most probably,
you didn't understand, no?
Most probably. So this is the main thing, you know. Like if we no, but the point of education is also preparing the next generations. Because you see, like our kids today will be faced with much more problems than what we face us today, you know?
True.
And therefore, if we don't equip them with the proper understanding, the proper basic knowledge, and this type of things, you know, they might find it, they might develop it themselves, eh? But, I mean, if we can help them now, that's also part of our duty, no?
But our children, actually, they do understand, because it's...
Of course, a lot.
If I'm mistaken, you know, I'm being scolded by my children. Oh, mom, what are you doing? You cannot waste water like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are aware. On some level, they're more aware than we are.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah, but you see, like there was, when we did this water festival in Pondy 2 years ago, we had this saying, you know, which is not ours actually, but one child, one family, you know. That means educate one child and then the child will communicate that to his family, you know.
Yeah.
So this is also one thing. For example, when we work with schools like TLC or Deepanam, for example, regarding the rain. Rain measurements, the rain gauges. This is also something that goes into the school, but it's very difficult because some kids are hermetic to it. They have difficulty to leave their sight from their phone. No, I tell you, even in Oroville.
Yeah, it's true.
They're always a nose in their phone, you know. And then if it rains, they will be worried that their phone gets wet, you know. No, I'm really...
Plastic bag, no? Phone in the plastic bag.
That's annoying. No, I'm a bit joking there, but... No, for me, it's... I don't know, we speak a bit randomly, but... it's important that people... and this is this will be our next effort to make people understand what we are talking about. I mean, really, like what I was saying before, the multi-sourcing. understand that it starts at home, like you said, and that we have to last time, I think I spoke of cycles, no?
Yeah.
And Auroville is built in such a way, on such a place, where we can consider managing our own cycle. Mm-hmm. Because we have very special geological configuration. That means we, at least with the first aquifer, and partially with the second, but at least with the first aquifer, we can say that the water that falls on Auroville and that we managed to get into the first aquifer is ours. Yeah. Enfin, not ours in sense of ownership, but at least we have a cycle. Mm-hmm. That means we use that water properly. We treat it and put it back. Mm-hmm. And you see, this is what we have to build, because in that way, what we want to plug is this kind of leakage away. We have to build these kind of ecosystems that become again safe, self-sustaining.
That would be ideal, right?
Yeah, completely.
But in the nearby villages, because every household practically got its own borewell, those are also connected to our second aquifer?
Of course, and so, and many of them. You see, in the villages, what we find is two kind of borewells. You have the big borewell done by the rich guys who have land, mm-hmm. and they make these 250-meter tube wells, and where they pump in the third aquifer, huge amount of water, and so on. And then, for example, if you look at the development between Pichandi-Coulam Bridge and Kulapalayam on both sides of the road, they have done a lot of borewells because they've built all these small shops and they wanted water. But when you look at how they built their wells, they used these small drilling machines, you know, with what I call catavandi, because they are very simple machines, but they cannot go too deep. So
but
they are drilling
80
like...
80 meters, no?
Hein?
The maximum is 80 meters that they can go.
Not even. You see, like in this area, if they drill like 50, 60 meters, already they have water. Mm-hmm. And water sufficient to for a bathroom, for a small garden. And for them, this is sufficient. Mm-hmm. So these are not affecting us so much. Mm-hmm. But it is an assumption, what I say. But I'm sure that if we run one day a study of that phenomenon, we'll find that it may not be affecting us so much. Because it's, for the time being, it's always the same story, you know. For the time being, it does not generate so much extraction.
And second is also the culture, because they use the water differently as Europeans does, no?
Yes, because you see, when you speak of culture, and again, you remember what I said before about the modern days, it all started 50 years ago. Mm. Culturally, in this area, before, they had open wells and they had the ponds, I mean the tanks. That's all what they had for water. And sometimes they had to go down to towards the beach where the water was more shallow during summertime with a bullock cart to bring back water to Kulapalayam, for example.
And that way you will use it really cautiously and really sparsely.
Exactly. But you don't, you know, like it's a kind of natural phenomenon that when you get access to abundance.
When you get a tap, you just.
When you get a tap and there is always water at the tap, then you use it, you know.
Yeah.
And immediately, we have seen it in the villages each time we run a water project, then you see banana trees. People immediately plant banana trees. Bon, often they plant it next to their shower, mm-hmm. but or next to the place where the lady will wash the pots. But, you know, very often there are more banana trees and then they start watering them. You see, it's a kind of I would like to have an anthropologist working with us, you know, to study all these things.
How that the top affects the culture of the nation, right?
Before they had only, this is something I always say, you know, like, before they only had kujas, you know, these earthen pots, and the woman in the morning, the women of the house, they had to go to the tank or to the well, now to the tap, to fill up all those pots and line them against a wall. And that was the stock of water for one day, 2 days. And the family had to be careful with that. She would keep an eye on it.
Yes.
But you see, it's a matter of education again. How to... you need a good technology for distribution. So, for example, we have a water service in Auroville working hard on that. I mean, I must say they really try their best. Mm. It's costly. They often go for high-tech solutions. Not so much, actually. But, I mean, for example, we were supposed to have yesterday a meeting of the water group with all these people in Auroville who are distributing water.
Mm-hmm.
But it could not happen because of the strike. So we'll have it next week.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that they will come because we want to get their feedback. How do you experience distributing water in Auroville? It's a new initiative, but it's very important. And then from there, try to see how we can build up a kind of a common understanding. Where do we want to go with water distributions? Because we are still torn between some people who do believe that the commercial way, that means sell water, sell it a good price, and people will will take care of it. This is the extreme, one side.
We don't have a centralized distribution of water.
No, we only have water service.
We have the water tank, the water service, and then...
And they are expanding, for example, over all the most of the residential area, but not all of it. And they come up to here. I mean, the water you get here in the town hall is coming from there.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is one. Then you have another major system in Kotakarai that is being run by... Bobby has been coordinating it for years.
Mm-hmm.
Alok is doing the Oroshilpam area.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Certitude, we have Courage, we have Aspiration, Oromodel, all this eastern side.
But these communities, they have their own borewells, no?
So they have one or two or three borewells.
But they are distributing by themselves.
But they are distributing and they are managing the resource.
Mm-hmm.
That means in terms of cost... In terms of timings, if need be. But then we try to see how we can come together and improve that thing. Improve it and make sure that this has meaning for Auroville. Because we should not forget our famous collective yoga, no?
That one in Matrimandir, like, no?
Yeah, it's not only going to the chamber, you know, it's also sharing water.
That's what I'm saying. The lake, as far as I know, the plan is to have channels and to support the communities, the residential zone at least, and going down to Kolokolam.
Yeah.
Okay, let's stick to today and tomorrow. You have any advice regarding the water for our summer?
For me, the main thing that I would say for the summer, nothing new. Be careful. I mean, reduce already now. Why utilize water carelessly when you don't need all that water? Use only what you need and train yourself to use only what you need. And second, learn how to share. That means all these resources, all this stuff is common.
Mm-hmm.
It belongs to everybody. It belongs to nobody in particular. I mean, let's go by the charter. I mean, I don't want to be dogmatic, but it's practically, that's how I see it, you know. Share the water. For example, we have the case of a project that could not started because one of the distributors said, no, I do not have enough water. I want to drill one more borewell. And the water group said, no, you are not going to drill one more borewell at 250 meters or 200 meters, whatever.
That's a aquifer, right?
Yeah. And then the guy just twisted the arms, you know, and said, okay, then I don't give permission, I don't give water to that project, it cannot start. So this is what starts happening in Auroville.
That is ego.
No, but it's not fair.
But that is ego of one person.
No, it's how the water wars are starting. You see, we are talking of Kaveri, Karnataka, and Tamil Nadu. And in Auroville, you know, a distributor can allow himself to take this type of stand. And this is not fair. You see, this is worth going for an appeal, you know, on such a... But so far, we are going diplomatically, and we are holding our stand. No more wells in the third aquifer. No more wells in the third aquifer. We are all very clear on that at the water group. And people have to learn how to share. For example, in that case, I was quoting, you know, that project that is being blocked. If the people of the concerned area are reducing their needs, not their needs, their use.
The way how they use it, yeah.
Exactly. And that means you free some amount of your water budget, and you make that water budget available for this construction project. Because we have been working also in discussion with architects and contractors to see how they can themselves reduce, because this is also consuming a lot of water.
The construction consumes huge amounts of water. Yeah?
And now we are just it started long ago, but it densifies a bit with the farms. Because many new farms want to come up, and immediately they ask a permission for a new borewell. And what they want is to go at 200 meters, because this, they say this is where we get water. But then we have the case of Ayar Paddy Farm, with a well of 250 meters, and he has hardly any water, because the third aquifer has no pressure. So that means it does not give water. Mm-hmm. So you see, so for me, the main things, I don't say reduce like that. Use what you need and work on the consciousness of what you need and share. Learn the virtues of sharing.
Tom, let's stop for today.
Yeah, no, I think it's already quite
enough. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
We'll see what the summer brings.
Yeah, let's see.
And as you said, use it wisely and share it.
Yeah, yeah. That's the main way to deal with our BHF. I mean, this is... that's where we go.